It's good to be here tonight. I hope that you'll pray for me. Pray for us. Pray for the service. Preacher kind of caught me off guard this morning a little bit. I thought I'd try to help him out a little if I can. Lord's been good to us, ain't he? Been good to me. And so, I was thinking about this the other day, and then I guess I thought more about it in the passing of Brother Fred. Kind of want to try to preach on them lines tonight. If you have your Bible, look in the book of Hebrews. A couple of places I want to read. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 1. Then I want to go back and read a verse over in John. It kind of goes along with it a little bit, I think. It reminds me of something the preacher said one evening up here in the visitation. I had not got away from it. It kind of stuck with me. And he was talking about David when he was going to the threshing floor, and he made the statement, "How can I give to God something that costs me nothing?" I've thought about that often since then. Here in John, I'm going to read this, kind of goes along with that a little bit, in chapter 4, verse 38, I read one day, and it's kind of like that statement, it kind of stuck with me. It says, "I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors." I've thought about how much that applies to the generation that we live in. How that we mostly have just reaped on other men's labors. And how that we as God's people are responsible to labor and to leave to others like we was left. And it bothers me, maybe we're not doing that like we ought to, Ralph. Maybe, you know, we've kind of got lazy and whatever. Then over in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, and I preached on this before, but I'm going to preach a little different tonight. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin that which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for this time, Lord, you've given us together. And God, you know our heart tonight. Lord, as we come before you, Lord, I know that in myself I can't do anything. But Lord, I know you're able. You know what we need tonight. You know every heart here. And God, I pray, Lord, that you might challenge us tonight as your people through your word and these men, Lord, in your precious word. Down through the ages, Lord, stood for you. Not only them, Lord, but men that we've known in our time. Yeah. Lord, we pray you'd help us and encourage us and give us what we need tonight. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Of course, again, I thought about this kind of in the passing of Brother Fred. Kind of got me thinking about some men that I've known in my time, in my age, and Brother Fred. And I think some of these men is a good reason for us to run to finish the race. I thought about Brother Fred, preacher, in the last few years, and we all know this, how that he was in a lot of pain, yet he was faithful, as the preacher said. He was here every time the doors was open. You know Brother Fred's going to be here, unless there was something really bad matter. And known Brother Fred down through the years. for about 35 years. A good man. And all that's done been said about him. Y'all already know all that. But he's one of the people that I think that ought to encourage us to finish the race. And finish it, not just finish, but finish in good fashion as he did. And I thought about old Brother Fred and remember the last time that I seen him struggling to get up here, struggling to get back down. And I thought about the pain that he must be in. He's not in any pain no more.
Amen.
I thought about Brother Rightly Selling. Good man of God down through the years. One of his sayings was, I'm going to stay in the field till the sun goes down. I think that ought to be an encouragement to us, don't you? I mean, listen, old Brother Rightly, I remember Pastor just as a little bitty boy. I don't know, 5, 6, 7 year old. I remember Brother Rightly, and he's got a brother that they call Hawk and a brother that they call Red. And we was so poor that we thought the poor was rich. But you know what? They didn't look at us like that. They come through and was over in our community around all the time going to revivals. And I can remember them coming, you know, and we'd be walking maybe to town. They'd pick us up. I remember Brother Red Sally, just as a little boy, how they'd pat us on the head, you know, and was good to us. And I hadn't forgot that. That ought to be an encouragement to me to finish the race and finish it in order. Brother Rightly was a great preacher in my mind. And I think he was a great preacher in God's mind. Amen? I mean, he might not have been the most eloquent, but he was God's man. No telling. How many souls were saved under that man's ministry? I know he buried just about everybody in my family. He buried my mommy, buried my daddy, buried my sisters, buried my brothers. And no telling how many people's funerals that he held. What a mentor he was. What a man he was. A God of man he was. I thought about Brother Jack. How down through the years, Brother Lowell, he'd mount this pulpit knowing that he didn't feel like it. Knowing that his blood pressure was sky high. Remember the time, Brother Ralph, that he got up here and he said, preaching so hard, and his nose started bleeding, he had to quit. That ought to encourage us and compel us as God's people to go on and finish the race. And Paul said, writing to the church at Glath, he said, you did run well. What did hinder you? He's writing to the young preacher, and he said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, he said, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation needful for me to write unto you and to encourage you to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Earnestly contend, not casually contend, but earnestly contend for the faith. I'm just of the opinion we're casually contending for the faith. But we need to earnestly contend for the faith. Then writing to the young preacher where I was at there a minute ago, Paul writing to the young preacher, he said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. We've seen that come to pass, ain't we? I mean, listen, if this world ain't in a mess today, I was talking to my brother-in-law last night, me and him, good Christian brother, we was just talking about what a mess this world's in. I mean, it don't matter if you're a Democrat, Republican. Our country's in a mess. I mean, it's in the worst mess. I'm getting to be a pretty old man, Brother Joe. And it's in the worst mess that I ever seen. Listen, it don't seem like it's going to get better. And I know it ain't going to get better because God said it wouldn't. It's going to continue to get worse. We better get prepared. He said evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Think about that. People are being deceived on every hand today. Deceived in religion. Deceived in everything. You know, people are so deceived that they think they're right in the wrong things. And evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But he says, continue. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. And so it exhorts him to continue in the faith. And we are to continue in the faith. And here, the writer in Hebrews, he said, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. These men that I mentioned, Brother Fred, Brother Jack, Brother Riley. I remember about Brother Woodrow Wilson was a great man of God that I remember. Brother Woodrow, he was just a great man. If you, any of you knew, and some of you did, I remember the last time I visited Brother Woodrow. He was a great teacher, a student of the Bible. And when I left, preacher, the last thing he told me, he died about 2 days later. He kind of hollered at me. I'd done left and turned to leave, and he hollered at me. And I went back, and he held his hand up. He said, Brother John, no sad regrets. No sad regrets. And wouldn't that be a good way to leave here? No sad regrets. Thank God for these men. And so here he talks about some men, and we're all familiar with them. One of them was Abraham. Abraham was a man of God. The Bible said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith. Oh, we need some people that's strong in the faith. He said, being fully persuaded. Fully persuaded, not just persuaded, not casual Christians, but he was fully persuaded. We need to be fully persuaded. And these men here, these men that's gone on before us, they are to encourage us to run the white race with confidence and to be fully persuaded in everything that we do that God is victorious in all things. You can't lose with him. If you're on his side, you're on the winning side. That's the reason Brother Abraham was fully persuaded, because he knew that. He knew it to the point he was willing to take his son's own life. Oh, what could we do today if we had some Christians that was persuaded like that? Fully persuaded. Staggered not at the promise of God. Didn't second guess him. Didn't think about it twice. He is a man looking for a city that had no, whose builder and maker was God. Then there's Moses. Talks about Moses here. Talks about all these, and I thought about them. See, kind of collects them all together and said, they were stoned. They were sawed asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. Wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy of. I'd say that's a pretty good statement, wouldn't you? I'd say they was pretty good men. Here, Moses, he said he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He's given up a lot there. I hope you know that. He refused to be called. Refused. That shows when you refuse something, that's a staunch attitude toward it. Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with God's people, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Amen. My, what a man. Amen. A man like that ought to make us want to finish the race. Yeah. Ought to make us want to finish it right. Yeah. Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. He gave up something. He chose to suffer the affliction with God's people, rather than suffer, than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. I thought about this. He might have been talking to old Paul. Paul said, why we look not at the things which are seen. Well, I tell you, we need to get that. Things won't satisfy you. Things won't do nothing for you. One thing in heaven's worth everything that's on this earth. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. You see, Moses said, rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He knew it was going to be short-lived. I'd say to our teenagers, all pleasure is short-lived. Our Lord said, lay up not for yourself things upon earth where rust and moth and thieves steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Got a safe keeping up there. I mean, listen, you can put them in a safe down here. Brother Anthony knows that, don't you, Anthony? You can lock it up, do whatever you want to do. It's still prone for theft. It's still, in the end, always end in destruction. Things don't satisfy. It's temporal. Moses knew that, I think. He said he did. Then I thought about Joseph. I love Joseph, don't you? He was a type of the Christ. I thought about Joseph when he went into Potiphar's house. How Potiphar's wife tempted him. I want to say to you, too, and I've thought about this. She wasn't the ugliest woman ever was. The devil never is. I imagine, Brother Ralph, that she was a beautiful woman. Do you know what he done? He refused. The Bible said, but he refused. Moses refused. When we get in situations, we need to refuse. This needs to be an encouragement to us to refuse. See, these men went through it, and we can look back and see the best way. They refused, and he said, how can I do this great wickedness? Lord, help me, how can I do this? And sin against God. How can I do that? I thought about these saints down through the dark ages. How that, Pastor, they was burned at the stakes. Tarred and feathered. Well, we don't know much, do we? They was burned at the stake. And they'd tell them, they'd say, recant and we'll let you go. You know what they'd say? I will not recant. Go ahead and light your torch. Set her afar. About like the preacher preached this morning when this thorn in the rock set him. I will not recant. And they burn them at the stakes. It cost them something. It'll cost us something. It cost Brother Fred. It cost Brother Riley. It cost Brother Jack. Cost Brother Woodrow. Cost everybody that went down through this. Great saints of God that stood for God down through the years. Whether it was in the dark ages, whether it's in the generation before us, whether it's in Moses' day. It's always cost something. It'll cost us. Are we willing to pay? When I look at this generation that we live in, I say, no, we're not. When we look at ourselves in comparison to them, like we read to start with, we're reaping on the other man's labors. It'll cost us something. It says that we have to lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us. We're going to have to lay it aside. We're going to have to refuse. We're going to have to say, I choose God. How can I do this great wickedness? And sin against God. Lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. I got a vision of that. Time when I studied this. We as God's people are just like a magnet walking through this earth. And it's just like a magnet, and those I kind of picture it like a magnet being dragged through safety pins or something. It's just jumping up on us. Jumping up on us. Jumping up on us. It's a battle. We're in a battle. Amen. It's not easy to live for God. It never has been easy to live for God. That sin will jump all over you. We're to resist it. The Bible said resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Trouble is, we don't want to resist it because we like it. God help us. I'm preaching, as the preacher says, to me. I already preached it to me once this season. I'm getting again. Lord, help us. I'm just trying to encourage us. Because one day, we're going to wish that we'd have done what I'm trying to tell us about tonight. Lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. It cost them. It cost Paul. Paul said, but what things were gained to me, those things I counted but loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And do count them but done, that I may win Christ. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Listen, if we could just get a vision of this, how much better Christians we could be. Somebody said, well, I'm this one man. I thought about Nehemiah. He was one man. I thought about those Israelites. Brother Rick, when he was going into captivity, he said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. We hanged our harps on the willows. Well, I'm just of opinion. There's a lot of harps throughout Bloomingdale hanging on willows. How could we but not serve him? How could we but not preach? Brother Brian, how could we but not teach? Ralph, how could we but not read the choir? When we see what he's done for us, see what these peoples went through, what they gave in their lives, and how they refused to come under the domination of sin. Seeing where our compassion about was so great, and it is great, a cloud of witness. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. Another reason I think we need to run the race is because, and I think this is the most important one, because of the mercy received. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica. He said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We're not to be faint-hearted people. Oh, it gets, as Brother Fred used to read the song, it's not an easy road. It's not an easy road. It's a hard road sometimes. Paul, in his last days, right to the church, he said, for I am now ready to be offered. Boy, he could look back over his life and have assurance that when he met the Lord, he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. He said, I'm now ready to be offered. Time of my departure is at hand. Fought a good fight, finished the course, kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, whom the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give in that day. I like this part. And not unto me only, but unto all them also. You know what? That got us. Now ready to be offered. He fought the good fight of faith. He refused to go the way of the world. He refused to hang his harps on the willows. I could just see them, Jews, and I thought about this. I was thinking, studying this evening. I could just see them gouging them of hoping. Sing that song now. Sing it now. Hoping, brother. They said, how can we sing a song in a strange land? He's worthy of our service. Not a casual service, but a service that's got some energy about it. I tell you, I don't know about you, but I was thinking this evening as I was studying this a little bit, kind of made me ashamed of myself. Really did. Put me under conviction. You know, studying it myself, put me under conviction. Got me ashamed of myself. I mean, I got to be honest. I don't witness like I ought to. Opportunities come my way all the time. They're there in front of me every day. They are you too. All of us. They're there. I don't pray like I ought to. Do you? I don't read and study like I ought to. Do you? Do we? I'm going to tell you something. And I'll close with this. I thought about old Nehemiah. The old king said, what's the matter, Nehemiah? I'm paraphrasing. He said, the city's burned and the gates are burned. He said, how can I be happy and all that's going on? Now, let me tell you something. Bloomingdale's are burning, and our country's burning. How can we be happy when that's going on? I thought about the preacher just again when he pulled in the parking lot, preacher. Thought hit me. God help us. The back car's full of boys. Look at me. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
That car back seat was full of those boys. I see them go around here every Sunday.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm not fussing. I'm talking about me. God help us that we get a burden in our heart to see these young'uns saved. How much? Listen, I ain't been praying for them much. I'll be honest with you. I do sometimes when it crosses my mind, you know, just casually. God help us, we get more serious than that. Lives are being weighed in the balance. And I'm going to tell you one thing. We ought to run them young boys through our mind every morning. Not only them, but out here in the community. A lady told me the other day about visiting a couple. And this might sound a little gross, but I believe you can take it. The husband was so strung out on drugs, had the little boy in his hand, had a diaper on, and his diaper was so full of urine, it was running out all over his arm. Does that burden anybody's heart? It ought to. We're the only hope they got. We're the light set on the hill. Let's don't take the basket and cover it up. Let's let it shine. God help us. We ought to be knocking the door down Saturday morning, brother, to get into the visitation. We ought to be knocking the door down Saturday evening, getting in here to pray. Oh, God help us that we'd get a greater burden in our heart. I don't believe I'm out of line, folks. We need a burden like we ain't never had before. If we could just reach one of them little boys, it'd be worth every labor we could put forth. I believe we can do better than that. Thank God for those that's been saved. Praise His holy name. I even believe we're slack concerning that, preacher. We don't thank God and praise Him. I mean, when somebody gets saved, listen, we ought to all be running around the building. That just shows me how cool we are. We ought to have a burden for these young people. Lord knows I don't. Some of them's probably lost. We just got a short space to reach them. They'll be gone. Pretty serious. God's given us every tool that we need. He's given us every asset that we need. He's given us everything that we need to get the job done. He just wants us to get busy and do it. Well, we got us a good pastor, don't we? Let's support him. Let's lift him up. Pray for him. God help him. I believe with God's help, we can see some things happen around here. I even believe we're going to. I appreciate you listening to me. I hope I ain't said nothing to make nobody mad. I've just told you my heart.